سقاهم ربهم شرابا تهورا And the Lord satiated them with a pure wine. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad said that this wine is a heavenly wine, but it's to be acquired in this world. And thank you very much for that, sorry. And on drinking it, it cleanses you from everything that is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you're always in unity with awareness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the wine. If you remember, worship was realized, as Allama Tabatabai said, it's through intoxication. So this is to be tasted. Otherwise, if you're spiritually blind here, you're going to be spiritually blind in the hereafter, even if you do go to heaven. Allama Tabatabai has said, Aga, we don't have anything more important than self-building. Self-building. Ayatollah Hassanzadeh is saying that a community without Irfan is a lifeless corpse. We have to make an effort. We can't suffice with the letter of the law. We want to experience the fruits of religion, and that's the haqiqah. The way to the haqiqah is the tariqah, and the way to the tariqah is the sharia. Ayatollah Hassanzadeh has quoted Allama Tabatabai as saying, we have eternity facing us. We are that which we are. إِنَّمَا تَنْتَغِلُونَ مِنْ دَارٍ إِلَى دَارٍ And we're only making that transition from one abode, one realm, to another realm. But we have eternity facing us. One realm to a higher realm, to a higher realm. From the physical realm to a more immaterial realm. From that semi-immaterial realm to a more immaterial realm. But it's eternal. The soul is eternal. We are eternal beings. And since we are eternal, the hereafter is eternal. The hereafter is a product of the soul. The soul always is. Therefore, the hereafter is always. And we construct the hereafter, everyone to their own liking, depending on their actions. You are your actions. Okay, that was just a few summary points to today's lecture. Tariqah is the spiritual path to experiencing that which the Holy Prophet experienced. It's open to everyone. The tariqah isn't one in number. The number of spiritual paths to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite. It's equal to the number of people. Some spiritual paths may be better than others, but still, they're all legitimate. As long as they're based on some tradition, some verses, there's no need to judge one path over the other. Everyone to their own. But it can't go against the Sharia, naturally. But the tariqah and spirituality, unlike the Sharia, there's no Sunni Shia anymore. These terms don't qualify. But with the Sharia it does, with theology it does, not with tariqah though. Now there are many paths. There's one path which says be a slave to your mother, for example. It's one path, it's okay. It's supported by traditions. And when people are that bothered about spirituality, if they're truly bothered, and they come to me, and it's as if I can give them magic, say, is there one thing we can do in this abode of kufr? In America, my words to them, the only thing I can tell them, if they want a quick result too, is be a slave to your mother. Do whatever she wants you to do. You can't do that 100%, but do it to the best of your ability, you'll succeed. Even if the mother is not a Muslim, even if she is a dhalim, still, you do that. That's a tariqah. It's supported by the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. But I want to speak about a certain tariqah tonight. This tariqah, this spiritual path to Allah, is one that is attributed to Allama Tabatabai, who got it from his mentor, Allama Ghazi, who got it from his mentor, who got it from his mentor, and so on and so forth back. Many, the sequence of scholars. All of them, mujtahids and fiqh, irfan, everything. Student mentor. This tariqah has passed through generations. It's a very strong tariqah. Very strong spiritual path to Allah. For those who've mastered the Sharia, if they find someone who can guide them, this tariqah is a good tariqah. This tariqah has been written by Allama Tabatabai in a very small book, which incredibly has been translated into English by the grace of Allah, by someone by the name of Hujjatul Islam wal Muslimin, I think Zaidu Salami. As-Salami, I know. I think his first name was Zaidu. And the book, it's called Risalatul Walaya, The Treatise of Walaya, Vicegerency, I think is the term he used there. This book is 5 chapters. This tariqah, which has passed on from generation to generation, has been summarized in these 5 chapters. It's something incredible that we have it today. There are many tariqahs which have been lost throughout history, many treasures. But this tariqah has passed the test. For some reason, we have it in English even. I want to just give a summary in one lecture of this book. The main points, not all the book. So you understand this tariqah, appreciate it more. It starts with giving a definition of salvation. So this is not a complete summary of the book. The book exists. Just the practical side of the book, I'm summarizing that. Otherwise, I don't want to pretend that if you listen to this one lecture, you'll understand everything in the book. It has a lot of important theoretical concepts in that book too. For example, one of them which I recall is that, whereas most scholars say that man is a social animal, a social being, he proves that man is not a social being. He's forced to be social, but man is an individual being. Only by the exigencies of time, he has to become social by necessity, out of necessity. And therefore, if he overdoes it, his spirituality may suffer. Anyway, he speaks about that. Mullah Sadra has that in volume 9, in his Asfar. Anyway, he first gives a definition of what salvation is. Sa'ada, happiness. He gives a definition. He says it's the realization and fruition of man's existential tree within. Still, we doesn't help too much yet. We're still in the realm of concept still. Man has this existential tree within. This has to be realized. This has to bear fruit. Once it bears fruit, now we don't know what the fruit is, we'll come to that in a minute. Once it bears fruit, happiness starts. If the tree within never bears fruit, one has never entered the realm of happiness. Yes, I mean this pseudo form of happiness that you've passed this entrance exam to this university, or you were accepted at this workplace. These are all just diversions and play for most people. Let's not fool ourselves. Are all PhD students, or all those with high certificates, are these people happy in the real sense? Have they acquired inner happiness? Are those with good jobs, are these people happy? That's not to say they can't acquire this happiness, but we don't define happiness like this. He speaks of an existential tree within, so it's in the realm of the soul. Some dimension of the soul has to be realized, has to bear fruit. Something from the soul has to emanate. Once that's realized, once it bears fruit, yes, happiness starts. Otherwise, you've never acquired it. So two questions now arise. What is this realization that you speak of? You have to know. You're speaking of an existential tree within. Something has to be realized. It has to bear fruit. What is this realization? We have to first understand that. And the second question is, what's the way of acquiring and attaining to this realization? Two important questions. Surely we're going to cover them in this lecture. First, he then comes and says, okay, let me tell you what this realization is, so that you know when you've entered this realm of happiness. And he gives an academic answer to this question, what that realization is that leads to happiness, that inner realization of that existential tree. What is it? In order for one to be happy, to acquire sa'ada, salvation, what is it? He gives an academic answer. This academic answer I can explain to you and you'll understand. But still, that's not the same as the tree being realized. We want that soul to reach a certain dimension, to give certain fruits. That's different to the brain understanding something. These are two different realms. I'll come to how it's to be attained, but first we have to know what is to be realized, what is to be attained. So he gives an academic answer. What is it, this realization? I'll first quote it and then I'll explain it. Although, for those who have listened to my lectures, you'll understand it more quickly, but for the benefit of those who haven't, maybe I have to go through it, but very quickly. That realization, that existential tree within, will bear fruit when one annihilates one's actions, one's attributes, and one's essence in Allah's actions, Allah's attributes, and Allah's essence. And what does that mean? He says you have to see. That's what it means when your actions are annihilated in Allah's actions. It's an academic answer. It's when you see all actions as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you detach from your own actions. You detach yourself from your own actions. Instead of saying, I did this, I did that. Yes, you see Allah as the source of all actions. So imagine we are the hat in the clothes shop example which I gave one or two days ago. We are the hat. We warm someone's head. Do we attribute that warming to me, the hat, or to the thread? We said we have to attribute it to the thread. The hat has no existence but the thread. The hat has no independency. That is nothing without the thread. But imagine the hat now always saying, I want this head, I want that head. I did this, I did that. It's lost the plot. It has to be incorporated within the hat, this Mr. Hat, that all the warming, all my actions, it's the thread. Whatever is in the shop, it's thread. In dimension, as a hat, as trousers, this, that, and the other. But if you really believe Allah-lessly that you did this, you did that, there's being no Allah in the picture, no, you're very far from the objective. Also, detaching yourself from your attributes, my power, my knowledge, my this, my that. You see all power as His. All learning as His. All forms of knowledge as His. From the nursery to the high school, university. It's all Allah's knowledge being manifested. And in relation to yourself. All attributes are His too. This is what he means. So with the hat, going back to the hat example, the hat is very beautiful. He sees the attributes of beauty to itself rather than seeing that beauty is attributed to the thread. Without the thread, there is no beauty. There is no hat. Okay, this is what he means. This has to be acquired. Okay, now you've all understand it. You've all understood it. Does that mean you're all happy now? You've acquired salvation? No. Because he said the existential tree within, the soul has to realize this. Not the rational side dimension of the eye. Otherwise the rational dimension of the eye has already understood it. You have to see, not with the physical eye. The heart has to see this reality. It has to be incorporated within the soul. It's not a rational endeavor. It's not an academic endeavor. And actually, if this remains an academic endeavor, it'll be a veil to your spirituality. You have to endeavor to firmly incorporate this in your hearts. Now, this is something important. Now we're getting a bit closer now. We know where we have to go, but we've only understood it rationally up to now. It has to be incorporated in the soul. Now the question is how? What does it mean for it to be incorporated within? Then they go through many traditions, but this being the main tradition, man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabba. One who knows the self, one soul, verily they'll know their Lord. They'll know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's taken it to the realm of the soul now. See, now the secrets are slowly unveiling. The answer lies within. And you have to dig within, explore within. That tree within has to bear fruit. It's not the brain, It's not one's rationality. Remember the poem last night? Exit the intellect. Over there, the path is non-existent. It's the soul which has all the answers. It's all within. You know yourself, and this knowing, Arafat, you have Irfan in relation to yourself. You'll have Irfan, awareness in relation to Allah, the real thing, not the rational Allah. The rational Allah is limited. I don't want to keep on repeating myself. This school is called, this tariqah, is called the tariqah of ma'rifatun nafs. The tariqah of having irfan in relation to your nafs, in relation to your soul. It's the path of the soul. The answers lie in the soul. And this tariqah, it's pivoted on this aspect. In the Quran, it reads, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I haven't created the jinn and humankind, save that they execute servitude to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this servitude is absolute servitude. Servitude has degrees. We are also servants, but not true servants to the real Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it would be impossible to sin. We're servants to that Allah that our capacity has dictated for us. Everyone to their own capacity. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. It's a code. It's a code. The objective, our objective here, is to execute this true servitude. But Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Allah Muhammad sallallahu Muhammad wa Muhammad he's opened the code and said liya'budun means liya'rifun. The objective being to have irfan in relation to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we see that ma'rifah of Allah is the prerequisite to executing true servitude to Allah. The Quran gives the objective. The Imam gives the route to that absolute servitude. Irfan. Irfan of who? Irfan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gnosis in relation to him. Awareness of him. But the real Allah. Not the Allah we've made up. Which is okay. It's not a sin. It's a beginning. Subhanallahi amma yasifoon. Immaculate is Allah from that which they describe him, from that which they ascribe to him. People describe Allah, me and you. Allah is immaculate from what we say in relation to him. Because these are rational constructs of the mind. Illa ibadallahil mukhlaseen. Except for the mukhlaseen. No. The mukhlaseen, not the mukhlisi. The mukhlaseen, no. They can describe Allah because they're in unity with awareness with the real thing. Becoming mukhlas, it's important. We can also become mukhlas. Mukhlis is when your actions are dedicated to Allah. That's not enough though, but we have to keep on increasing our ikhlas as mukhlis people. But being a mukhlas is when the I is dedicated to Allah. That's a whole different realm now. So this ma'rifah, this irfan in relation to Allah, is the weight that true servitude. So ma'rifah is a prerequisite to that ibadah which the verse mentioned. Now, next question. This ma'rifah, how many types are there? Then he mentions another verse where two forms of ma'rifah, two forms of irfan of Allah are mentioned in this verse of the Holy Quran. It's getting a bit more exact now, precise now. You just have to pay attention. Sanurihim. Soon we shall show them. Show them what? Ayatina, our signs, Allah's signs, Allah's attributes will manifest upon people. We shall show them our signs. Okay? These attributes of Allah, these signs of Allah, where are they? When it's going to be shown to us, what are the realms of this showing? Fil afaq, in the horizons, in the realm of creation, whatever is in the physical realm, it's a manifestation of Allah's attributes. Nothing is Allah-less. This physical realm of creation has no end. There's no end to the physical realm of creation. Keep on going. You won't come to a signpost saying, this is the end. Then after that is nothing. No. Or after that there's something immaterial. No. It doesn't make sense. The Urafa don't accept that. Ayatollah Hassanzadeh believes this physical realm of the physical, it's infinite. There is another interesting opinion too, but if I want to explain that, I'm totally diverted from the discussion. Whatever is in the physical realm, it's a manifestation of Allah's attributes. He's shown us His attributes, His signs in the physical realm. We see it. But then it says, وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and in their souls, where Allah's attributes will be shown, they'll manifest in the souls, in my soul, your soul. Until when? What's the use? Hatta yatabayyana lahum annahu al-haq. Until it becomes evident that He is haq. Allah is the truth. But things have to be manifested in the physical realm and in the realm within the soul, until this reality that annahul haq becomes evident to me and you. We're getting closer to that realization. That realization where all actions are His, all attributes are His. There's nothing but Him. To get that realization that it's all Him in dimension, annahul haq, things have to manifest for you. Allah's attributes manifest in two realms, the physical realm, but also within the soul. So now this is very important now, because now Allah's attributes are manifesting. The result is that we come to the reality, all actions are His, all attributes are His. That is happiness. For that to happen, Allah manifests. Where does He manifest? In the realm of creation, in the realm within. Okay, so these two, are they equal? Are there any differences between these two forms of manifestation? I lost a bit, yes. He said, yes. One form of this ma'rifa, where Allah manifests outside the soul in the physical realm, it's a rational exercise. It's concepts you're dealing with. There's mediation. You have to see things before you come to this reality. It's not immediate. It's an academic exercise. It leads to yaqeen in relation to Allah, but that's only ilmul yaqeen, certitude through knowledge. Maybe I gave this example before. Sometimes I see someone in Iran, they're told of a country called America. They read it in their books. They have yaqeen that America exists. They read it in their books. That's one form of yaqeen. Sometimes someone then comes to America, they're living in America. The yaqeen, the certitude, the person who's living in America in relation to America is more than the person who's in Iran, who just read about America in the books. This brother is in America, seeing America. And sometimes someone becomes American. The yaqeen even becomes more, for example. Yes. So there are forms of yaqeen. When you see the physical realm of creation and Allah manifesting in the physical realm, you do acquire certitude in relation to Allah, but it's through knowledge, it's a rational exercise, it's still concepts. You're seeing the external realm wherein Allah's attributes are manifesting. However, in the other form, where Allah will soon show His signs and His attributes will be shown within, in the soul, here you're seeing within, that inner place wherein Allah's attributes are manifesting. It's not a rational exercise now. You're in unity with your soul. For example, in your dreams, you're in unity with your dreams. Those dreams don't come from outside you, like the physical realm. When you see your dreams, you're in direct unity with them. Knowledge of one's dreams is different to knowledge of the outside world. Knowledge of one's dreams, it's immediate, it's a huzuri knowledge. It's present within, before you. It's different to the husuli kind of knowledge outside you, where you have to rationalize and make concepts of to understand. Here there are no concepts. You're directly in unity with your within. Here, if you explore within, you can see Allah's attributes and signs manifest, as this verse says, within you. This is important now. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوْغِنِينَ. On earth, there are signs for those with conviction. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And in yourselves, there are signs. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. This أَنفُسَكُمْ, it's within. There are signs within. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. O you who believe, observe your souls. Explore within. And then it says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And in yourselves, in your souls, there are signs. أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Will you not see? Seeing. Seeing within. Seeing what? Seeing Allah's attributes manifesting within. Ma'rifatun nafs. You dig in, see, explore the soul, you will see, not with the physical eye, Allah's attributes manifesting within.
all of Allah's attributes. And there's no limit. Once you see, not with the physical eye, and start seeing Allah's attributes manifesting within, remember in the beginning, seeing all actions as His, all attributes as His, then that reality will open up to you. Before that, it's an academic exercise. Are there ways we can tell? Are there ways we can tell that some people have acquired this? Or if you yourself, I mean, not others, you yourself have acquired this. One will become very humble. Very humble. There's no ego. One can't become angry. Anger in the negative sense. Compassion, absolute, to all creatures of Allah. You see yourself as nothing. Who am I? You become embarrassed of your existence. You see all actions as His. You don't ever attribute to yourself, I did this, I did that. You see all attributes as His. But when you're seeing it, it's not a rational endeavor. It's not something physical. This you see within. That's Ma'rifatul Nafs. One who knows the soul, acquires that true irfan within, they're seeing Allah. They're knowing Allah. It's all Allah manifesting within. Okay. So, still we want to know how to acquire this. What are the steps of this Ma'rifatul Nafs? Okay, you've told us the objective. To some extent, the objective is clear. We know where we have to go. It's not a rational exercise, okay. What are the steps though? Okay, we know what the tariqa is here, but can you give the practical route now? Here, Allah says, مُرَاقِبَ during the day and تَوَجُّ during the night. مُرَاقِبَ during the day and a form of attentiveness, tawajjuh, within, during the night, in solitude, in the middle of the night, early hours of the morning, not congregational. It's a form of tawajjuh, a form of attentiveness, where you dig down. During the day, at the workplace, at university, it's muraqabah. Allama Tabatabai has said, according to Ayatollah Hassanzadeh, he says, whenever my muraqabah would become stronger and fortified during the day, my visions, because when you're exploring within, afala tubsirun, will you not see? It is a form of seeing. You're seeing Allah's attributes manifesting within, but it's not with the physical eye. These are visions, forms of witnessing. Visions can be semi-immaterial, with there being color, size, shape, but there's no physical matter in them. They can be purely immaterial. They call it then mushahadat, witnessing. But it's all within, you're seeing within, nothing outside you, nothing to do with the physical eye. But whenever my muraqabah, he would say, during the day was enhanced, strengthened, during the night, in my solitude, alone, when I became attentive within, my visions became enhanced. My shuhud, my witnesses, my witnessings became enhanced. Ayatollah Hassanzadeh has said, muraqaba is the seed, the seeds to happiness, to sa'ada. Muraqaba during the day, the tawajjuh, it will bear fruit. What will bear fruit? The existential tree within. How? I did muraqabah during the day. Then I was attentive within at night alone. The tree became realized. The tree bore fruit. What does it mean it bore fruit? Allah's signs manifested within. The tree was ready. How was the tree ready? Muraqabah during the day. So what's muraqabah? I've spoken about muraqabah, I think, in this community. It was, I think, the month of Ramadan once, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. During the day, at the workplace, at university, brushing one's teeth, combing one's hair, going down the stairs, sitting on a table, eating breakfast, going into the car, driving out, parking in the car, then walking to, let's say, the work or university. There's 1,001 different actions you're doing during the day. Allah doesn't exist in any of those actions. You're not recalling Allah at all in those actions. And all those actions are void. It's not haram. It's wasting your time. 23 hours, and let's say 50 minutes of the day, just total void. There was no Allah in them. And if those 5 salats weren't wajib, it would have been 24 hours without Allah. What does muraqabah do? Muraqabah wants to make that 23 hours and 50 minutes, reduce it to 22 hours, 21 hours, 20, 15, 10, 5. The more the better. It's the science of retuning and filtering one's intentions. Muraqabah is the science of filtering the mere action which enters the filter, and then the output is a righteous action. So imagine muraqabah as that modulator. It's fed with actions: combing one's hair, having a shower, walking along the street, studying, working, sitting down with your wife. There's no Allah in not any of these. But you put these actions into a modulator, a filtering mechanism. It's called muraqabah. Where now you retune those actions. You say, I'm doing this, for example, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what comes on the output now? It's righteous actions. Amalu salihat now. This is salih actions, is this. If I help someone, give someone charity, I'm doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that charity is righteous action. Or if I help someone in their homework, or the millions of actions that you do, it's to please Allah. Now, you can tell if it's really to please Allah or not, that if the person even never thanks you for helping them in their homework or helping them with charity, and actually they become bad with you, you become disappointed that you helped them. You become disappointed that they never thanked you. That means no, your muraqabah is weak. Because you want to retune your intention that when you helped them with the homework, it was nothing to do with them, to please Allah. That was the goal. And then if it really was to please Allah, even if they don't say thank you, it doesn't matter. You want to please Him. Muraqabah is difficult. It's not easy. Allama Tabatabai's Tariqa has a number of muraqabahs, number of filtering mechanisms. There are other tariqas with other forms of muraqabah. One of the forms of muraqabah which the Imam Khomeini's tariqa, where the tariqa which he belongs to, one of the muraqabahs with every action which you do, that filtering mechanism, was this, that you become severely suspicious of yourself. That am I dedicating this to Allah or not? you truly become suspicious. Because if it's not done for Allah's sake, it's void. God knows what the effects will be after. It can even enhance your ego. Sometimes someone starts well, but during that project or action, then they fall. Muraqabah, it's weak. You have to strengthen it. Imagine, I mean, this may take years. It goes slowly but surely, action by action, day after day. You can't just suddenly start 24 hours a day doing muraqabah. It's not possible. But once this muraqabah is enhanced during the day, the result is all righteous actions. By default, it means you are always recalling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You weren't in the worldly life. Yes, you did work. You were married. You had children. You went to university. You had all that. But at the same time, you were detached. You were with Allah, action to action. Through muraqabah, you were always with Allah. And that maintained your detachment from the worldly life. And since you managed to filter all those mental interferences and impediments, since you managed to avoid accumulating rubbish during the day, and you were always with Allah, now, in the middle of the night, in solitude, all alone, you become attentive within, and now the mental impediments won't bother you. If the muraqabah was strong. And then you begin seeing within, not with the physical eye. Now, what does it mean, seeing within, this tawajjuh? What does it mean, sitting alone, in solitude, in the middle of the night, everyone's asleep, you're sitting, let's say you close your eyes. Are there ways of being attentive within? وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And in your souls, أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Would you not see? What is this attentiveness? If I were to not give you anything, but you, in the middle of the night, just close your eyes and think of Allah. Deliberate on creation if you want. Just focus within, recalling Allah. In the Quran, it speaks of this. It speaks of tafakkur. It speaks of thinking, ta'aqqul, rationalizing, tadabbur, deliberating. It speaks of acquiring basira, seeing within. It doesn't go into how to do it though. It doesn't go into how to do it. Although that's not 100% true, but for now. And in this tariqah, Allama does not go into this. He doesn't tell you the ways of being attentive. Because if he was to tell you, and me and you being very premature, in haste, without having the preliminaries, we do things, it can kill us spiritually. There was a brother in Iran who, through inheritance, he got this book of these certain spiritual practices, and without a mentor, without having the preliminaries, he practiced them. Without that supervision, not only supervision, he didn't have the preliminaries, the Sharia wasn't mastered. The Sharia has to be mastered. You know, in the first year when I was in Qom, I did nothing but follow Ayatollah Bahjat. from the morning, he would go to the, from the masjid, he would go to the haram. He would recite one or two contracts, or wedding contracts. Then he would go to the haram. I was there. Then at 9, he would then go back, 8, 9, he would go back to his house. Then we would go, lunchtime would come at night time. One of the things he would do when people would ask him that, what shall we do? He would do this. Just put this on his chin, do that. The people would understand that, but I would never understand why he did that. They got the message, they left. I never understood that. Once, in one of the wedding contracts, he recited in the mosque, and I was there. Those in Salat al-Fajr were there. Those who stayed, they would just see the wedding contract and Ayatollah Bajad. Not that the bride and groom had any significance, we just wanted to be with Ayatollah Bajad. He recited, then the groom went to Ayatollah Bajad after the wedding contract was read and said, can you give me some advice? He did that again. And the groom understood. Then I went to the groom this time and said, did you understand what he meant? And he said, yes. I said, please, can you tell me what this is? He said, have a beard. Have some kind of beard. A very simple thing that you don't even have this wajib action and you want to go on, you know, when you haven't mastered the Sharia, you're thinking of tariqah. And that's, I don't want to judge anyone. Whoever shaves their beard, okay, it's a haram action, but it doesn't mean they're bad people. Let's not judge people. Let's think of ourselves. Let's not be judgmental. There may be someone, just because a physical, evident haram is seen, or for example, they don't wear hijab, it's haram. There's no one is. But it doesn't mean they're bad people. They're failing in this respect. What about the 101 haram sins we're doing within? The backbiting, the hurting, the anger. See, this has to be taken to perspective. But the reason I mentioned the story was because, look, even the small things Ayatollah Bajad was sensitive about. Anyway, where were we? Oh yes, so this brother read those specific practices, practiced it one night alone. He suddenly saw hell. He saw within. Hell, heaven, the dimension of the soul. You are your actions. Your actions become embodied in your soul. They will manifest in the hereafter. They are right now, but they don't appear to you. It'll appear after physical death. But you can do things to see it right now. The thing is, if you haven't mastered the preliminaries, what do you want to see? Bad actions being embodied? You're going to see hell. You saw it, not with the physical eye. Two angels were going to take him to throw him into hell, into fire. He was shouting. The people in the house, they were all sleeping. It wasn't a physical shouting. No one can hear anything. His physical body was here. When we sin, we're burning. Why don't we sense that burning? Because the burning isn't physical. It's worse than physical pain. It's immaterial pain. They were taking him into the fire. He kept on shouting. One of the angels said, say, Ya Kareem, Ya Rahim. He kept on saying it. They didn't throw him in. He returned to his normal state. For 8 years, this brother, who just saw hell, the hell that he created for himself, you are your actions. For 8 years, he was under intense sedation because of his psychosis. He became psychotic of what he saw. 8 years, they were divorced, and rightfully so. I mean, you can't. For 8 years, after 8 years of, you know, severe supervision, medical supervision, psychiatric supervision, after 8 years, he slowly started to recuperate. and then the wife and children returned. But before that, he would smash his head with glass. Yet they're always constantly under sedation. So it has to be understandable. I can't go through those practices. I'm responsible. I don't want people to then go within and... So you focus within, you see. However, in Imam Khomeini's tariqah, this tawajjuh doesn't have to be in solitude and you just sitting alone and seeing within, exploring within. It's through the salat. Although all tariqahs have salat, but this is one of the very important aspects to Imam's tariqah. He said, look, it's all in the salat. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. The salat is the believer's ascension. Where you see within. You see the hereafter, you transcend. It's through salat, Imam says. And his tariqah can be seen in Adab al-Salat, his book. You want to know how you can see within? You see through salat. Now there may be some Zen Buddhist methods of seeing within. There's no need to panic. There's no need to say it's all wrong and everything. They have their own ways. It's a science. They may have benefits. It's online too. It's freely available. There are books on it. But anyway, in Islam there are other specific practices, but that doesn't mean other things don't work. They may have some degree of function too. Is it haram to practice them? No, from a Shia's point of view, it's not haram. I mean, it's haram to become a Buddhist, but those practices, it's not specific to them. Imam said, it's the salat. The salat has to be mastered. Focus has to be acquired through the salat. Even focus. Yes, during the day, don't sin. Then is the wudu. The wudu has over 150 inner meanings. Then it's the adhan. All of it has inner meanings. Then it's the iqamah with its inner meanings. Then you start the salat. There are elements of focus in salat. The Sharia tells us, when you're standing, focus on earth. When you go into ruku, focus between your feet. When you go into sajda, focus on the tip of your nose. When you're in tashahud, focus on your thighs. Focus. Getting rid of those mental interferences. If you go through all the inner dimensions of the salat and acquire that focus, yes, all those mental interferences, those Allah-less actions, all those will be discarded, and in salat you will see. So now with this, now we understand some traditions where it says they came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, Muhammad. They came to Amir al-Mu'mineen and said, maybe one person, but said, I've been suppressed in relation to Salat al-Layl. Salat, which is the mi'raj of us, doesn't have to be the wajib salat, any salat. Can be the mustahab salats too. We've been suppressed in relation to Salat al-Layl. Then the Imam gave a code. This code has been limited understanding wise. He said, أنت رجل قد قيدتك ذنوبك. You're someone who your sins have imprisoned you. Now, this doesn't have to mean only that this brother would not do Salat al-Layl, and the reason was because he would do Sharia sins. That's one meaning. That's okay. And that's the meaning that usually the scholars tell us. But there are a number of other meanings too. Where the person does Salat al-Layl, not benefiting at all. Like Shem, for example. Shem Putusa not only. Why didn't he benefit? Because his sins imprisoned him. What does it mean, his sins? He would do the Sharia to the dot. Which sins? Oh, ethical sins. Irfani sins. Holding on to grudges. Never forgiving. Ethical sins. The love of a big house. The love of a big car. Irfani sins. These also, these last three or four I mentioned, Irfani and ethical sins, they're not Sharia sins. The Sharia doesn't say it's haram. But the ethical sins, the Irfani sins, it qualifies as dhanb. And as sins, they do contaminate your soul. They're not Sharia sins though. This contamination of the soul, it may lead to a threshold where even you commit Sharia sins. But even if you don't, that contamination, it's imprisoning you. And that's why you're suppressed in your Salatul Layl. You're not benefiting from it. قَدْ قَيَّدَتْكَ ذُنُوبُكَ. She has degrees now. But let's say you take away those ethical and irfani sins. You take away all those mental interferences and impediments within through muraqabah, through salat. Then now your salat, with that focus you have, mi'raj. أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Will you not see? Then you undergo the mi'raj. But it's through this salat. That's something we all can do. There's no need to know what the disciplines of tawajjuh is, how to be attentive within. If someone tells you, so be it. But now you this salat. It's all through the salat. But a salat which is done, you know, with the spirit of the law, its inner dimension, not just a number of external physical movements. So this ma'rifatun nafs, that irfan of the nafs, is the most immediate way of perfection. It's no intermediaries, it's direct. You get to know the self, you know Allah. You'll see Allah's manifesting within. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's with you, wherever you are. Wherever you are, He's with you. That means by necessity, you are with Him, wherever you are. So why don't we have that irfan? We need muraqabah. It's like radio waves. It's surrounding us, but we don't see radio waves. We're not benefiting from radio waves. But you get the radio, tune it correctly, you benefit from it. In our example, we want Allah's signs is manifesting in our soul. We want to be ready to see those signs manifesting within. Okay. Now, I can speak a bit more, but the problem is I have another speech. I don't really want to, but with your permission, I'll stop there. I think I've given you the main points, though. And just one last story. Once Ibn Arabi went to one of his mentors. He said, all these sins surrounding us, for example, let's say, although it may have not been Darul Kufr, let's imagine all these sins surrounding us here, for example. What should he do? The mentor said, focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He went to another mentor with the same problem. The mentor said, focus within. And then he said, look, he's saying focus on Allah, you're saying focus on within. Which one's correct? Give me one way. The mentor said, he invited you to the Rafiq, the beloved. I invited you to the tariq, the path to the beloved. If you focus on the soul, irfan of the soul, you'll know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa ta'ala.
Yeah.